Thank you, Dion. Good morning. No, I can do better than that. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, Jesus Christ our Savior, and the Holy Spirit our Comforter and constant companion. Amen. I don't know if you've thought about it, but our life is a constant barrage of questions. You know, when you wake up in the morning, what shall I put on? How many cups of coffee shall I have? Shall I have that last one? What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? Questions, questions, questions. But you know, we face some bigger questions than just a third cup of coffee. We face big questions, and we all do. Questions like, where have I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? How do I live some call it successful, others call it happy. Let's just call it, how do I live a good life? These are all big questions. But you know, the biggest question of all is, what do I do with God? What do I do about God? And that's an amazing thing, because even, you know, we are sort of in one mind, yeah, up into that door there. And then if you go out into the rest of the world, then people think differently about things. And it is strange that the world itself cannot escape that question. What do I do about God? Why do you think the world, the atheists, the new pagans, the other people, why do you think they rage so much against Christianity? It's because this question upsets them all the time. It calls for a response all the time. It scratches at them. It niggles them. They would never acknowledge it. But what do I do about God? You know, that question is like the proverbial saying about the elephant in the room. You know, and now I'm not talking about a little elephant in a big warehouse. I'm talking about a huge elephant in a small room, you know, squashed up against the wall. Or maybe even an ostrich with its head stuck in the ground. You know, the world does want, they squashed up against the wall, but they do not want to acknowledge the fact that it's that question that is squashing them all the time. It's that question that is pressuring them all the time, and which is giving them that sense of disquiet. Now, just before we get too complacent, just remember that some of us, or all of us at some times, will have that experience that we slip away a bit, that we dial down a bit, and that in the end, we're not answering that question, what am I doing about God? You see, the question is not, what have I done about God? You know, 5 years back on the 15th of June, 19 whatever, or 20 whatever, the question is, what am I doing about God? And that's why that question speaks to us too. The question that comes up then is, can we say anything about God? Can we know God? Can we do this? Now, David in Psalm 68 addresses this question. This is a long psalm of praise, and we're not going to read the whole psalm. The psalm, very near the beginning, the psalm says, "Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him, his name is the Lord." And then towards the end, we get to these words. "Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides across the highest heavens, the ancient heavens, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the heavens. You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God." I'm having problems with my glasses. I can't see what I've written here. The question is, verse 34, David says, "Proclaim the power of God." Proclaim the power of God. Proclaim the power of God to a world who does not want to hear it, and to ourselves who have maybe forgotten it. Proclaim the power of God. But can we? Can we? Do we know God well enough to proclaim him, to proclaim his power? Can we? The word says in John 17, verse 3, this is a part of the prayer that Jesus prayed on the night that he was betrayed. There you can see the context. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. And then if we come down to verse 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus adds to that, it was on the same night, a little previously in John 14, which we won't have up here, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." If we do not know God, if we do not know Jesus, we do not have life. So we can know God, and he requires us to know him. To tell you the truth, knowing God and knowing about God makes the contents of our faith. How we believe is influenced by our concept of God. How we proclaim God and his power is made true by our concept of God. Our proclaiming him and his power depends upon us knowing God. Now the world will say, "How is this possible? God is absent. How can you know God?" But of course we know that God is not absent. God is alive. Not only Not only did Jesus rise again, but God has been alive from the beginning. And God has shown forth and communicated throughout the ages. You know, there was a when I was young, there was a very fashionable debate among the atheists. They called it the God is dead debate. And it was very fashionable, and I saw a lot of it when I was at university. But there was a graffiti on one of the university campuses in America, which on one of the walls was written, God is dead, Nietzsche. And then a little while afterwards, in another handwriting, there was added at the bottom, Nietzsche is dead, God. And isn't that the truth? Our God is alive, and the naysayers are dead. Part of this living God and our relationship with Him is also His power. Because His power is available to us. If we go to Ephesians 1 verse 19. Yeah, verse 19. And His incomparably great power for us who believe. God and His power is available to us. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that we can know the powerful Almighty God, and His power is for us. Not only can we know Him in a personal relationship, but we can also know about Him. Knowing about Him is knowing His being, because He has revealed it to us. He's revealed it to us in His creation. Romans 1, it's not up there, but Romans 1 says that nobody has any excuse, because in God's creation it is clear who He is and His might to have created. So that's available. In His Word, it's given us who God is and all His, what the theologians call, attributes. And this has been demonstrated in the life of Jesus. He spoke through His Son, Jesus. And what's still more amazing and maybe even nerve-creating is the fact that He expects His church to demonstrate who He is. But God has revealed Himself in what is the theologians call His attributes. And what we have to know about His attributes are things like that He's all-powerful, that He is all-loving, that He is all-just, that He is all-kind, that He is all-present, etc. But what we have to know about His attributes are that each attribute has an effect on all the others. So that if we say God is all-powerful, then it means His love is all-powerful, and His kindness is all-powerful, and His justice is all-powerful. And if we're saying that, then it also vice versa means that His justice permits everything. So His love is all full of justice, and His power is full of justice, and His kindness is full of justice, and so you can go on. Why are we saying this? It's because God is one. God is one. The most central thing in the Jewish, the Judaism faith is Deuteronomy 6:4. Now, this is the only piece of Hebrew that I know. It says, Shema Yisrael, Jehovah Eloheinu, Jehovah Echad. Meaning, Yer, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. God is one. God is one being, and so his strength is in his love, and his love is in his strength. His kindness is in his justice, and his justice is in his strength, etc. So all these things mean that when David says to us, proclaim the power of God, he's saying, proclaim the power of God in all that he is, in his majesty, in his magnificence. Proclaim the power of God. But obviously we humans have to be very careful, because when we use the word power, then our eyes go, and we, the devil knows how to push that button. When we hear the word power, then we get all strange. We must know that when we speak of the power of God, we speak of the power of God which is very different to ours. His ways are not our ways. The greatest display of his power was when Jesus hung on the cross, died for our sins, and rose again. That was the biggest display of the power of God. And somehow that is part of what riles the world. That is somehow part of why the world rages against him, because they cannot take it that God could hang on a cross. That God could enter our existence, that he has seen our misery and he's done something about it. You know, that fact makes the world upset. That's what makes the world rage against Christianity, because God has come into our history and made a change. All the other systems, they don't rage against. You know, the world has nothing to say about Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism, and they don't say anything about Islam in any case, because they're too scared. But they rile and they rage against God of the Christians, because they instinctively know the truth behind this. God has exerted his power to save. And that's part of what we proclaim. When David says, proclaim the power of God, we're proclaiming the power of God for salvation. But not only for salvation, we're proclaiming the power of God for life. Because God has come to live with and in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he enables us to live. So when we're proclaiming the power of God, we're also proclaiming the power of God for life. It's that power that Ephesians talks about, that incomparably great power. But once again, be careful, because that power is not what we think. That power is to use the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul responds, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." He ends, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." That is part of the gospel that we preach when we preach, when we proclaim the power of God. Now, to end, just to give you that sounds daunting. To have to go out into the world as sheep amongst the wolves is daunting. To go out in our weakness, trusting on the strength of Christ, is daunting. But just remember that, as Esther once said, we've read the book, and we know it ends well. We know our side wins. And I just want to give you some homework. Go home and go and read chapter 19 and 20 of Revelations. Because we've spoken here about the power of God made perfect in weakness. But there you can see what's going to happen when the power of God is displayed. Chapter 19 describes the great battle at the end of the ages when the kings of the world gather to make war against the rider on the white horse. You know, the rider on the white horse in Revelation is Jesus. He's the one that is called Lord of Lords. We sang about it last week, Die Reiter op die Wit Perd. And you know what happens? His people are gathered behind him. Not in armor. That's the weird thing. Not in armor. Not in uniform. Not in battle dress. The army of the Lord is gathered in white linen. And they face the armies of the world. And you know what happens? A sword goes out from the mouth of the rider on the white horse and slays them. No contest. And then in chapter 20, the same happens when Satan and his army gathers, the great war of Gog and Magog, gather and they surround the people of God. Is there a battle? A battle there is not. Fire falls from heaven and destroys them, destroys the enemies of God. Proclaim the power of God. That's what we have to do, is proclaim the power of God. Proclaim the power of God in our own lives. Proclaim it to ourselves. But proclaim it with our lives to the world outside. Proclaim the power of God when you're called upon it to do so. Proclaim the power of God to all who are going astray. Proclaim the power of God unto salvation and unto life. Amen. Join me. Let's all stand and pray together. Lord, we want to praise and worship you, because as David says in this psalm, God, you are awesome. And we just want to echo those words. Lord, you mighty to save, you mighty to enable us to live in this world. Thank you. Thank you for all your mighty power, which is for us who believe. Lord, we want to confess this morning that we don't live in that always. We want to confess our unbelief in your great power for us. Lord, we want to pray that you would work belief, faith in us, so that we can fulfill this that your word tells us to do. We pray, Lord, that you, this morning, would let your power flow over us. Lord, pour out your power upon us, Lord Holy Spirit, so that we might be able to glorify your name. Lord, we want to bring our needs to you this morning. And Lord Holy Spirit, we pray that you, with your power, will touch each one. We want to pray, Lord, that as we surrender to you, that you would meet our needs, that you would touch our hearts, that you would fill our lives with your power, that you would enable us to proclaim the power of God. Now, and when we go out and face the world, let's just spend a few moments in the presence of the Lord and allow him to minister in his power, minister to us. Lord, in the silence of our hearts, we just bring our needs at this moment to you. Yeah, let your power fall upon us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would just bless each one in the name of Jesus. Oh, we pray for your power. We pray that your power will become evident in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power, which is available and moving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. More power, please, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we just bless what you're doing in each one and in each heart. We just pray for your equipping as we go out. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. And now I bless you in the name of Jesus. And if anybody would like to come forward for more prayer, you're welcome. There'll be people up front to pray with you. If you want to pray in the seats, you're welcome. But be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.